Are you ready for the big game? At The Designery, we can help you arrange your kitchen in the perfect way to feed everyone coming over for the big game. I'm Dana Merrill, the owner of The Designery in North Raleigh.
And I am True Merrill.
The Designery grand opening, we're scheduled to open May 16th and do our grand opening party then. We're going to be catering some food, we're doing some giveaways, we have a VR headset, an Echo Show, some kitchen gadgets, and some fancy knives. 12 to 2 p.m.
Please stop by our showroom, 3030 Wake Forest Road. That's The Designery at thedesignery.com.
The Aluminum Company of North Carolina is proud to sponsor Kane's Corner with Adam Gold.
Perron will get to it. He'll lay it off the boards. That shot deflected out in front. Anderson makes the save, and he gets the pad out on Perron. Perron covered a penalty coming up, and Perron might have gotten himself another one here as Carolina is going to the power play. Kopp, the Rasmussen, low shot, kicked away by Anderson, and then that one is pawed forward by Slavin. He can do that legally in the defensive zone. Now Jarvis gets a load in front, they score! Sebastian Aho! This line is on fire! 1-0 Carolina. Jarvis with it, feed it to Aho, Aho to Jarvis, and he scores! On the power play, Seth Jarvis, his 28th of the year, 2-0 Carolina. This is deflected out in front. Larkin is turned away by Anderson.
Textbook, the way that a goaltender launched himself into that tip chance to make himself bigger.
Carolina gets onside. Good play by Kuznetsov. Martineau drops it back for the centerman. He's got a way. Set across. They score. What a pass. Evgeny Kuznetsov and Marty Natchez with the finish. 3-0 Carolina. This long drive is sent wide. And another opportunity. They'll score. Do it yourself, Brady Shea. Happy belated birthday. Put the X next to their name. The Carolina Hurricanes have clinched a playoff spot tonight. Frederick Anderson with his second shutout of the season. 26th of his career. And a 4-0 win for the Hurricanes over Detroit.
This is Kane's Corner with Adam Gold, a production of 99.9 The Fan. Now, here's your host, Adam Gold.
Well, welcome to the Kane's Corner podcast, everyone. I am Adam Gold, and I am at PNC Arena, the site of Carolina's 4-0 win over the Detroit Red Wings, which clinched a playoff spot for the sixth consecutive year. Appreciate you hanging out with us. We are, of course, as always, brought to you by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. If it is for the exterior of your home, you can find it at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina on Hamlin Road in Durham. No place like it. Sammy Hanna and his crew do a great job, and you should check them out for all of your home improvement needs on the exterior of your home. They don't do interior stuff unless you consider windows interior, and you'd have a point because you can see them from the inside. Boy, man, a lot of things running through my head. I'm going to start maybe with the bigger picture, and we'll get to the game, which I could best describe as professional. Absolutely professional performance tonight in a game that didn't have to have it. It wasn't a must win or anything like that. They played similarly to how they played in the second period. First period was good. I know Rod liked the first period because Carolina gave up nothing. They didn't do a ton in the first period, which is a little bit, in some ways, similar to the third. It was like an extension of the third period in Pittsburgh. But the second period, yeah, they gave up some chances the other way, which Rod probably didn't like, but they were super dangerous. You got to score goals. And they didn't score anything in the first period, didn't score anything in the third period in Pittsburgh. And I thought those two periods were kind of similar. That this first was better than the third in Pittsburgh, but second period, that's, you're going to be dangerous. Sometimes you have to give up a little bit to be super dangerous, and I thought they were. But we'll get to the game in a little bit.
Adam Gold in studio with my man Ryan Monsine from the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. You guys have tons of products. Let's talk about gutters, specifically the gutter helmet.
Yeah, gutter helmets can make it so you never have to clean out the inside of your gutters again. And also, if you need new gutters, the aluminum company can help you out with that too. You don't have to stop, get a separate contractor to do the wood rot, the gutters. We can take care of it all. The aluminum company in North Carolina is a one-stop shop. We give free, no-obligation estimates. We can come out there, assess what you have going on with your gutters, and make a recommendation and make it so you don't have to get up on a ladder and do a dangerous chore anymore.
People don't understand how dangerous it is. Or maybe I'm just nervous when I get on a step stool because I'm not very tall. But that product is amazing. The gutter helmet is amazing. Is it one size fits all?
Absolutely. The gutter helmet can work on existing gutters, new gutters, 5-inch, 6-inch gutters. We can help you with it all.
800-672-4348. Online, aluminumcompany.com for a free no obligation estimate for your gutter helmet.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I just want to start here, and I want everybody to kind of remember what it used to be. I know Rod talked about it in the post game. Just remember what it used to be. No playoffs. Sometimes you'd get close. Maybe you take it. Normally the pattern was the Hurricanes would feel out of it with like 12 games, 15 games to play. Then they'd go on a little run and they'd get your hopes. I'm like, man, if we just win these four in a row, we'll be right. And they'd fall short. They'd finish, you know, 3-4 points out of a playoff spot. They were just good enough to miss the playoffs. And that's the way it was, basically, for 9 years. You had the great run in 2009 after the coaching change, after the Stanley Cup winning coach, Peter Laviolette, was removed, and they brought Paul Maurice back, and that team played really well. They got to the Eastern Conference Finals, and they ran into the Pittsburgh Penguins, and the Penguins were a buzzsaw. That was the first Penguins Stanley Cup. By the way, Carolina's got a captain who's got his name on the Stanley Cup from that year. And then it was 9 years without, and I described basically what was the pattern for those 9 years. And there was also a pattern of really not spending and not having those types of players. And it was kind of a waste because I know what some people think, but Carolina had a goalie who could win you a Stanley Cup, and the team in front of him wasn't good enough for the most of it. So without getting too lost in the weeds about that, we kick it forward to the Rod Brind'Amour era, and halfway through that first season, didn't look like it was going to be a playoff team. In fact, some smart guy wrote on WRALSportsFan.com just before the new year that it was time to think about next year, that it was time to maybe bring up Martin Natchez from the minor leagues, who had been, at that point, playing in then Charlotte. And think about preparing yourself for year two of Rod Brind'Amour. It's a process. I wrote that. And a buddy of mine named John Forsland read it and said, spot on. And then the team got hot. They rode Peter Mrazek and the acquisition of Nino Niederreiter. And all these players that had been here and lost and a bunch of grinders like Brock McGinn. And they caught fire and won 31 games from the last game before New Year's Eve through the end of the regular season. And I'll never forget watching on my laptop in, I believe it was Minneapolis, at the Final Four, when John Forsland was doing a game here where the Hurricanes beat the Devils. And the Capitals were beating the Montreal Canadiens in Washington. And John was essentially, he wasn't doing play-by-play of that other game, but he was just updating time and score of that other game. and they were happening simultaneously. Hurricanes clinch if they beat the Devils and if Washington beat Montreal. Ironic, right, that Washington helped Carolina out. And that night, which was the second to last game of the season, Carolina clinched a playoff spot. One of the best bench interviews you'll ever see, Peter Mrazek with Mike Maniscalco on the bench. And remember the, we're in. It's tremendous. And the Hurricanes made the playoffs. And yes, it was an improbable run. And it was a shock that the Hurricanes beat the Capitals. Handled easily in game one, game two competitive, but Washington wins. Carolina comes home for game three. And if ever a home ice advantage, a home crowd advantage, if it ever mattered, it was then in game three. And the building was vibrating. And the Hurricanes then win game four. You go back to Washington, you get smoked in game five, but they come back here. Jordan Martinook playing on, wasn't even one leg, it was through a sports hernia. And Martinook just guts it out. They win game six, go back to D.C. for game seven, and it was, after getting behind, I think 2-0, scoring, then giving up another goal to go down 3-1. The Hurricanes came out, dominated a third period, dominated the first overtime, and then won it with a Brock McGinn goal in the second overtime. Justin Williams passing it across to Brock McGinn. Everything that happened after that was amazing. They swept the Islanders in a series that was probably a lot closer than that, and then didn't go well against Boston. But the team had already, that was the foundation. That year was the foundation, even though the year two was kind of fits and starts. Hurricanes weren't always in a playoff spot in year two. They kind of got some traction after the two trades to bring in Brady Shea and Vincent Trocheck. But then the season shut down, remember, right? And you go to bubble hockey, you beat the Rangers three straight, and then you lose to Boston. That was year two. But two straight playoff appearances. Hadn't been a lot of instances of that. Matter of fact, the Hurricanes had only made the playoffs 2 years in a row one other time, 2001 and 2002. And then the crazy pandemic Central, Carolina was the third best team in the league behind Vegas and Colorado. And then they won the Metro. And then they won the Metro again. And we go into this year, and the Hurricanes are the odds-on favorite. Betting favorite to win the Stanley Cup. And it didn't look great. Didn't look right for a lot of this season. They were good. Didn't look the same. And I would argue that it still doesn't quite look like the team that won the Metro last year and won the Metro the year before. They're not playing exactly the same way. They still exhibit a lot of those traits, but they weren't playing exactly that same way. They're not. They do at times. And I do think, because there have been whole games where they have gotten back to it, and I think they will again, and I'll explain why I think that in a little bit. But the Hurricanes have now made the playoffs 6 years in a row. And there are four other teams that have done that. And they are named Boston. They are named Colorado. They are named Tampa and Toronto. We're done. That's the list. And the Hurricanes have made the playoffs at least 6 years in a row. Nobody else. I don't know. I find that impressive. It's obviously not easy. It's a super competitive Eastern Conference. There are some really good teams. You ask the Devils how easy it is with all of their talent, and the Devils have a ton of talent. Ask the Devils how easy it is. How have the Islanders not made the playoffs, didn't make the playoffs last year, right? And they kind of look like they're not going to make it again this year. This is a really, really hard league. It's a hard conference. The West has basically been settled on their eight teams for about 4 weeks. It's a relatively top-heavy conference, the West. The East, however, there's a lot of depth, a ton of it. And not a lot of easy marks, right? Columbus has been this year an easy mark. But the easy marks in the East, so we thought, Buffalo, Ottawa, those two teams thought they should have been in the, they should be in the playoffs. I think Buffalo missed by a point last year. They had big expectations. They're not ready yet. They're going to be good. Man, so are the Hurricanes. I am going to bring this to the present in a second, but I just thought it would be a good idea to just kind of put some perspective on what this group has accomplished now 6 years in a row. And as I transition, I want to point out five players. And this has nothing to do really with tonight, although it does. But here are five players I would like to point out. We'll start with the captain, Jordan Staal. When did he get here? 2013? He's played with the Hurricanes longer than he played with the Penguins. Teuvo Teravainen. Jacob Slavin. Brett Pesce. Sebastian Aho. Those five players were all Hurricanes before Rod Brind'Amour became the head coach. Those are the five core players. They are the foundation of this franchise right now. Aho, and credit given to the past general managers. Credit to Jim Rutherford for drafting Slavin and Pesce, trading for Jordan Staal. Credit to Ron Francis for drafting Sebastian Aho and making the trade for Teuvo Teravainen, taking Brian Bickle's contract from the Chicago Blackhawks, and as a bonus, I'll take his contract, but you're going to give me Teuvo Teravainen. And we're not even going to get into what happens next year. All right, we're just going to save that for another podcast, one where we're not celebrating something, because we are celebrating a Hurricanes playoff appearance. But those are your core five. And then, how about five players who, or at least we have three players that entered the chat in year one of Rod Brind'Amour? Well, two of them did. As I keep amending amending myself here. I circled four players. We'll get to two of the first two. Andrei Svechnikov was the second pick in the draft in the summer of 2018. Obviously, you know, we can, and again, we'll have conversations about, you know, is Andrei going to become the player we want him to be? He looks like it as at times, and he doesn't at others. But he's obviously an enormous part of what this team is about. And very under-heralded. And I'll tell you a funny story about Jordan Martinook. They trade for Martinook that summer. And he's brought to Carolina, and the team, I was doing afternoons then. And the team asked, they said, hey, would you like to have Jordan Martinook on the show? And I went, sure. Who's that? Not going to lie. Didn't know who Jordan Martinook was. They got him from Arizona. He's as much the culture of this team as anybody. He really is. The other two guys I circled were Brady Shea, who came over in that second year, right before the shutdown. And the player that they drafted with the pick they bought from Toronto for Patrick Marleau's contract, Seth Jarvis. That's really your core, right? That's the backbone of this franchise. Five guys who were here before the turnaround, four players who arrived to form the core. Everybody's got a role. The new guys have a role. Jack Drury is a big part of this. Brent Burns is the guy who, the latest guy to play next to Jacob Slavin. The goaltending merry-go-round does look settled with Frederick Anderson, who still has another year left in a contract. And obviously the goaltender of the future appears to be Pyotr Kochetkov. But now this is what we're talking about. We're talking about the foundation that was built in year one of Rod Brind'Amour with some existing players who wore the losses, especially Jordan Staal. Think about what he went through. He came here to play with his brother. He had won a Stanley Cup. His brother had won a Stanley Cup. Eric was one of the best, you know, centers in the league. At one point, he was the highest paid player in the league. Jordan, an elite two-way center, incredible defender, and it never worked out. They had resorted to doing gimmicky things, like having Jared Staal start alongside Eric and Jordan in the final game of a season, just to say that they had three Stalls on the ice at the same time. That's what it had become. There was the Alex Semin experiment. Jeff Skinner he won Rookie of the Year. He was the darling of the All-Star game. They just couldn't get Jeff to be the player that they needed him to be. He was never going to be focused on the defensive side of the puck. And I believe that the Kirk Muller and Bill Peters era kind of soured him. And now he's up being overpaid by the Sabres. Anyway, probably went too far down memory lane, but the Hurricanes have now made the playoffs six consecutive years. And it is absolutely awesome. To all of the fans who have been around, like, oh, you're the guy who's been around since Greensboro. Awesome. Then I'm sure you're loving tonight. I'm sure you might have poured a small amount on the rocks. Good. Because you deserve it as fans. You do. Absolutely do. And we complain and we criticize and we overthink and we overreact to losses, and we probably shouldn't. I probably shouldn't get mad at you, but I do. But right now, this team looks like a team that can win a Stanley Cup. Top to bottom, they look like a team that can win the Stanley Cup. There's nobody in the league who is clearly better than them. Nobody. Florida? I don't know, maybe. Boston? We got Boston twice between now and the end of the year. The Rangers? I think Carolina's better. But again, Rangers won the season series. 2-1. But this is a team that can absolutely win a Stanley Cup. I want to get to the top line. I want to talk about this trio of Aho, Jarvis, and Guentzel. Or maybe we should say Jarvis, Aho, and Guentzel as, who was it? Samuel, the Jag line. Why not? Why not call him the Jag line? So this is not numbers from the entire season. By the way, Sebastian Aho has 83 points, which I'm told is a career high. Still has 8 games left to play. And Jarvis has 28 goals and 60 points. We'll talk about him in a second. So this is in the last 8 games, and it starts with Rod Brind'Amour putting them together in the middle of the game in Toronto. Remember that comeback? All right. Aho, 7 goals, 15 points in 8 games, plus 11. Jarvis, 7 goals, 2 assists in 8 games, plus 11. Jake Guentzel, 13 points, 2 goals, 11 assists in the 8 games, and a plus 10. That's amazing. This is together, right? Now, some of the points have come on the power play. Aho and Jarvis connected on a power play goal tonight. Gensel hit two posts, by the way. Could have had two goals for the same price tonight. And for those of us who had the Hurricanes, minus a goal and a half, under 6.5 goals, and Jake Gensel anytime goal scorer, it hurts a little bit. I ain't gonna lie. It hurts a little bit. I was that close. I've been so close. Come, can I catch a break? But the line has been amazing, and I cannot recall the Hurricanes having a better top line. Can't. Not the way these guys are playing right now. And I'm telling you, they haven't even begun. I don't believe this line has begun to really click. It's going to. They've got 8 regular season games to keep playing together, and I will be really shocked if Rod Brind'Amour breaks them up. I really will. They have been amazing. Maybe not as amazing as Frederik Andersen has been, but the top line has been amazing. So here's Freddie's numbers. 7 games since the return. 9.57 save percentage. He's allowed 8 goals in 7 games. 8 goals allowed in 7 games. Now, not all of it's Freddie. Freddie certainly had to make some good saves tonight, but Carolina dominated the puck against the Red Wings, and they have pretty much done that consistently in front of Freddie Andersen. Now, he did win. Was it the Toronto game? I want to get the games right because they all run together. You know how it is, right? Especially at my age. The Toronto and the Philly games that Carolina won. Freddie won those games, both of them, right? Because they were not awesome against Toronto. Played one period, played the first period against Toronto. And they were not awesome against Philadelphia. Freddie was great, great in both games. But for the most part, they have been great in front of him. And tonight, that was, to me, that was the case. There was almost nothing in the first period. There were some chances in the second and third, and he was a deserved star. I had him as the third star, even with a shutout. But he has been so steady. And for years, before we started this whole thing, we just kept begging, can we just please get league average goaltending? And we had a hard time getting that. We had the Eddie Lack experience. We had the Scott Darling experience. And Cam Ward was past his sell-by date and broken. And then it became the Peter Mrazek show, Alex Nedeljkovic, who's a pretty good, solid NHL goalie, by the way. Both are. And then 2 years ago, it was Freddie Andersen and Antti Raanta. And we ran it back last year. And then we brought them both back again. By the way, Raanta is playing in Chicago, just staying sharp. And as soon as that season ends, he'll come back up here and he'll be with his guys. And he'll sit in the press box like with everybody else. And he'll root on his team. And if he's needed, he's needed. I don't anticipate them needing him, but if he's needed, he's needed. It'll be good to see him. But Andersen, and I know I said a couple of podcasts ago that I thought that the move would be to go with Kochetkov to start. It ain't. It's not. When we get to it, that first Sunday, probably, maybe Saturday, but probably Sunday or Monday in April after the Masters, when we get there, Freddie Andersen is going to skate out into the crease and see if he can't win a Stanley Cup. And I'm telling you, this team can. They absolutely can. They have to figure out the combination on that Kuznetsov line because it was a little bit defensively porous again tonight, even with Jordan Martinook on it. It really may just be letting Kuznetsov just get his legs under him. And if he does, they'll be fine, but it's been kind of a defensive mess. But they did score a goal tonight. But boy, the underlying metrics do not look good. It's the opposite of watching Aho, Gensel, and Jarvis. All right, real quick, a thought on Seth Jarvis, and then we'll get out of here. So his rookie season, he has 40-some-odd points in, was it 60-some-odd games? 68 games, 40-some-odd points. He was good, really good. So a solid rookie campaign. Last year, plays more games, 70-something, and he's got less points. And too many people went, yeah, what's wrong? Sophomore slump. Nope, 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 nope. When you watch every game, especially if you're in the building, and I'm telling you, for somebody who covers the road games from his house, watching on TV, what you miss not being able to see the entire ice is criminal. Because when you watched Jarvis last year in person, you saw that he was having a better year. He just didn't have points to match it. He was, I know we talked to Corey Lavallette from The Athletic and the North State Journal today, and he's got a column dropping tomorrow. By the time some of you listen to this, it will be today on The Athletic about the growth of Seth Jarvis. He likened it to Tiger Woods. I appreciate a good golf analogy. I love golf analogies. And I love analogies that feature Tiger Woods. But what he used was, in 1997, Tiger Woods won the Masters. And in 1998, he and Butch Harmon rebuilt his swing from the ground up. Because what they wanted was a more consistent player. A better player. Tiger could have used his old swing forever and won a ton. But he also would have, you know, swung himself out of tournaments because he was so erratic. But Harmon, and then a little credit to Hank Haney, who's kind of a little nutty now, but they created a much more consistent Woods. Well, what Jarvis did was he spent last year really learning to play a 200-foot game. And right now, he's their second best forward. I'm not going to put Jake Gensel on the list just yet, simply because he's only been here for like 11 games. But Jarvis is that good. He is a complete player, and he's going to get better. He is also one of the truly hysterical characters in the entire league. Personality oozing out of his pores. It's an absolute pleasure to watch him. I love talking to him. He's fun. And he's a heck of a player. And what happened last year and then playing with Stahl and Martinook this year have just made him better. He's got 60 points now. He's got 28 goals. He's got 60 points. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. He gets to 70 points at all, right? 30 goals, 70 points, year three. Oh, boy. 22. Just turned 22. So, these are your Carolina Hurricanes. We essentially did not even talk about the game tonight. I said what I said at the beginning, just a professional workmanlike performance. Got the job done. Detroit had no answers in the second period and had no response really in the third. Hurricanes 4, Red Wings 0. I'm sorry, X-Hurricanes 4, Red Wings 0.
Are you ready for the big game? At The Designery, we can help you arrange your kitchen in the perfect way to feed everyone coming over for the big game. I'm Dana Merrill, the owner of The Designery in North Raleigh.
And I am True Merrill. The Designery grand opening, we're scheduled to open May 16th and do our grand opening party then. We're going to be catering some food. We're doing some giveaways. We have a VR headset, an Echo Show, some kitchen gadgets, and some fancy knives. 12 to 2 p.m.
Please stop by our showroom, 3030 Wake Forest Road. That's The Designery at thedesignery.com.
At WakeMed MyCare 365, we deliver convenience others only talk about every day of the year. Primary care and urgent care under one roof. Multiple locations, virtual visits, walk-in or schedule an appointment online. From annual physicals and routine care to sinus infection, strep, or the flu, we couldn't be more convenient. Learn more about our kind of care and our kind of convenience at wakemed.org.
We're brought to you by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. If it's for the exterior of your home, you can find it at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. No place like it. Sammy Hanna's crew do a great job. Everything for the exterior of your home, siding, roofing, windows, entry doors, storm doors, gutter helmets. They got it. They have all of it. So thanks to those of you in Adelaide, in Perth, in Alaska, Hawaii, Virginia Beach, wherever you are listening to the podcast, I thank you very much. You can subscribe to it, like it, share it, tell your friends about it, make them Hurricanes fans, force them to listen to it. It's available wherever you get your podcasts as well. And I thank all of you for spending time. And this has been a good ride. And I believe we have just begun the ride. A lot of hockey left. So until Saturday, after the Hurricanes take on the Montreal Canadiens, I am him. No, I am not him. I am Adam. Seth Jarvis is him. Sebastian Aho is him. We'll see everybody Saturday night. I appreciate all of you. Why don't we close on this one more time?
It's a low shot kicked away by Anderson. And then that one is caught forward by Slavin. He can do that legally in the defensive zone. Now Jarvis gets a load in front. They score! Sebastian Aho! This line is on fire! 1-0 Carolina.
It was the goal that opened the floodgates. And we'll see everybody Saturday. Good night.
You've been listening to the Canes Corner Podcast with Adam Gold.
Hey, I want to drive the Zamboni. Yes, I do.
The Canes Corner Podcast is a part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network.
Did you know that your unused medications could end up in the wrong hands? It's important to keep your medication secure in a locked location, such as a locking box or locking cabinet. When it's time to dispose of them, safely and properly dispose of old, expired, or unused meds by using an at-home disposal product or a medication disposal box in your community. Don't miss out on medication take-back events happening near you. Don't let anyone take what's yours. Lock your meds. Be aware. Don't share. Learn more at lockyourmeds.org/NC.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.